This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
I'll tell you what, we are an army. And we need to start acting like it. There is a lot of stuff that needs to get accomplished in the next few years, and our world is in a mess, and we don't have time for playpens and pacifiers and baby bottles anymore. We don't have time to get in a fit of self-pity and sit in the bathroom floor and cry all day because we cooked dinner and our husband didn't appreciate us. Well, I need encouragement. Well, go and encourage somebody. Oh, that feels so good. Just had to get that off my chest. See, here's the thing. We all have a little different call in our life. And my call really is to help the body of Christ mature and grow up. If God would have let me chosen, I maybe would have probably picked a dessert ministry, but I didn't get one. I got the meat and vegetable stuff. But I want to do my job good for God, and I want him to be proud of me. And I'm going to tell you, until Jesus comes back to get me, what I believe he wants me to tell you. Not may not always be what you want to hear, but it will be what will help you later on. That's my job. Let's take a real quick look at Hebrews 5. And I hope you understand where I'm coming from. You see, the thing is you need to know, first of all, who you are in Christ, but then the next thing needs to be, now, what can I do for Christ? Yes, please let me tell you how amazing and how wonderful you are and how much God loves you and how you don't have to live under condemnation and there's grace and there's mercy and we don't need to spend our days feeling bad because we're not perfect. We can just say, God, you knew what you were getting when you got me and you got to fix what's wrong with me, but today I'm not messing with that. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm sorry for all my sins, but God, what do you have that I could do for you today? How can I serve you? How can I help you today? What can I do to make somebody else's life better? You don't know how many hours I spent in pity parties crying because my husband was out playing golf or watching a football game. How stupid is that? Well, Lord, Dave's watching football again and the kids are out playing and I just got to do all the work around here all the time. I just... Finally, I felt like the Lord just said, don't you realize how ridiculous you look? I mean, I remember I was like 7 months pregnant, sitting in the bathroom floor in the very back of the house, bawling my eyes out because Dave was watching a football game. And here I was already teaching a Bible study in my home. And you know, on Tuesday nights, I wanted to be God's woman of power for the hour. But the rest of the week, I was bawling my head off and acting stupid because somebody wasn't paying enough attention to me and making me feel wonderful. Well, now I encourage Dave to go play golf. Why don't you go play golf? Go play golf. Wouldn't you like to go out and hit a few golf balls? Because I just want to get in my chair and sit back and pet my dog and be peaceful. And I want to control the remote. But you know what the difference is? Now I don't need him to make me feel good about myself. My joy is not dependent on what he says or does because I know that I am wonderfully made. I know that I am wonderful because of what Jesus did for me when he died on that cross. Woo, hallelujah. My. I remember walking through a parking lot one day carrying my sack of guilt. Oh, I don't know what I'd done, but I'd been on a guilt trip for 2 or 3 days. I parked out in the back of the parking lot so I could feel real pitiful while I walked toward the store. Oh, God, nobody's as rotten as me. My God, I don't even know if I'm saved. Oh, my God, I'm just such a terrible person. Nobody's as bad as me. And I still remember the Holy Ghost said to me, how do you plan to get over this sin? Well, Lord, I was so spiritual. Well, Lord, I'll just receive the sacrifice that you made for me when you died on Calvary. I knew the answer, but I wasn't applying it to my life. And I remember him saying, when did you plan to do that? And I started getting a revelation. No, I thought probably in about 2 or 3 days after I beat on myself for a while trying to pay for the sin I did. And listen, I want to tell you, I remember what the Holy Ghost put in my heart. He said, well, that same sacrifice is going to be good in 3 days is good right now. So if you don't mind, if it wouldn't be too much trouble, could you go ahead and receive it today? Because frankly, I have a lot I need you to do. Listen, and you're no good to me in this condition. If you don't want to think highly of yourself for any other reason, do it for Jesus' sake. Let's don't be like Elijah, who when Jezebel was chasing him, went and sat down under a tree and had a pity party and wanted to die. God said, what are you doing? What are you doing? Now, I'm trying to act right, but I don't know if I can or not. Hebrews 5:12, for even though by this time you ought to be teaching others, you actually need someone to teach you over again the very first principles of God's word. You come to need milk and not solid food. Ouch, ouch. Now let me just throw out my opinion of milk and meat. I believe that milk are the nice dessert messages. And I think the meat deals with us, makes us a little bit squirmy in our chairs. But for those who really love God, it moves them on to the next level. Amen? Now, for everyone who continues to feed on milk is obviously inexperienced in the doctrine of righteousness. Now, let's just leave it there. So what does that mean? He's saying, if all we ever need is milk, then we obviously don't really know who we are in Christ. But you see, I can hear a strong, confrontive, corrective message, and it doesn't make me feel bad. I love it. And even if I'm convicted, I love that because I know who I am in Christ. So hearing a strong word from somebody is not going to make me feel bad about myself because I take it as God speaking through them, not to make me feel bad about myself. He disciplines us because he loves us. And when we're confronted about our behavior, it's because God loves us. And we should get more excited about that than what we do. Thank God he's dealing with me today. But enough of that. I got to make sure you feel wonderful before you leave. So I'm going to try to get back to that. Comparing yourself with other people is just so totally, completely useless. I mean, it's unbelievably useless, you know. How many years did I not like my personality because it was so aggressive and bold and straightforward, and I couldn't seem like I could open my mouth without sounding like I was barking at somebody. And I wanted to be so sweet and nice, and I would try to lower my voice and sound meek and even have a more humble walk. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. But now I finally get it. Could you imagine me trying to do what I'm doing? Could you imagine me trying to do what I'm doing or going into some of these nations that I go into that are full of devil worshipers and men who hate women to start with, going in there and saying, well, I'm just so happy to be here in your country. Praise the Lord, I just want you to know. And I hated my voice, and I understand now why God gave me my voice. If nothing else, people listen because it's unique. How many times do I hear when I'm out, I didn't recognize you, but I heard that voice. The voice. I always say I'm a mouthpiece in the kingdom of God. I may not have much else going for me, but I can talk. And you've heard all my stories. I mean, I've had some of the dumbest, stupidest stuff happen concerning my voice. Called a spa to make an appointment to get a facial, and the lady on the other end said, "Do you have any facial hair?" Well, I didn't get it. I'm liking myself. You know, I'm fearful and wonderfully made. I'm okay here. And so honestly, I thought, what? Yeah, I got eyebrows and eyelashes. I mean, that's what I thought. And I said to her, I said, well, yeah, I got eyebrows and eyelashes. And she said, no, I mean, do you have a beard or a goatee? And I said, I am a woman. I am a woman with a deep voice. And I tell you what, I have had so many laughs about that. I think it is the funniest thing. And you know what? There would have been a day when that would have put me in the bathroom floor for 3 days.
Oh, God, I was in the wrong life when you gave out voices. I just don't know what's the matter with me, God. Why do I have to be a woman and sound like this? It's just so embarrassing, God. It's so embarrassing.
I think it's hysterical. Come on, you are going to be amazed how things are going to change for you. The torment you're going to lose when you finally say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am not an accident. I am not a mistake. God has got something for me to do. Matter of fact, God has got something for you to do that only you can do. So get over yourself. First of all, the things that we think are so wrong with us, if we would just stop calling attention to them, nobody else would even notice it. We're all different. I've read a book, well, several books, but one, but yeah, I've read several books, that's true. But a man named John Ortberg has written several books that I've enjoyed. And in one of his books, he shared this story, and I thought it was just pretty hysterical. So this will help you get the point. Yes, I know it's here. It was bedtime, and I went into my daughter's room to tuck her in. She was surrounded by stuffed animals and cherished dolls. She's in that sweet, still twilight moment between wakefulness and sleep. I sit on the side of her bed. I look deeply into her little eyes where she lies there still as if she'd been hypnotized. And I try to tell her what's in my heart. I'm so grateful that you're alive. Do you have any idea how much I love you, sweetie? There's no gift in my whole life like the gift of being your dad. She stares up at me, then she speaks, Daddy, I love you so much. Her eyes well up, mine too. We both have tears. She puts her little arms around my neck. We're both feeler kind of people. We savor the moment. It's a Hallmark moment for sure. I walk out of that room feeling that I pretty much have the father thing down pat. I go to the next bedroom. This child, too, is surrounded by animals and dolls, though some of them have been inadvertently kicked to the floor. She's not in that sweet, still twilight moment because she does not know twilight. She only has two gears, full throttle and unconscious. Her metabolism has an on and off button, but no dimmer switch. I sit on the side of her bed, which is still, not still, because she never holds still long enough. She could not even sit still long enough to be hypnotized. I go into my same speech. I'm so grateful you're alive. Do you have any idea how much I love you? There's no gift in my whole life like the gift of being your dad. She's staring up at me, suddenly still. Then she speaks, Daddy, you got something hanging out of your nose. Now, there we have it, folks. Have you ever noticed that God seems to really like variety? I mean, like, he don't like it a little bit. He's, like, really into variety. Even in nature, immense variety exists. For example, there are 10,000 species of birds. Just birds. 10,000 species of just birds. I mean, if you want to make a bird, why not just make a bird? No, we're going to have 10,000 different looking birds. There are 339 species of dogs, 250,000 species of flowers, 250,000 species of fish. God likes variety. Look at all that. Colors and shapes and sizes. And look at that dude over there. I mean, he's kind of weird looking. Look at the lips on that one. Woo. Wow, check that mouth out. species of butterflies. Listen to this, and I double-checked this just to make sure. 26,000 varieties of orchids. Just orchids. 8,000 species of weeds. And maybe you think you're a weed. Well, let me tell you, here's about 10 things that weeds are good for. Soil stabilization, habitat and feed for wildlife, nectar for bees, aesthetic qualities, they add organic matter, they provide genetic reservoir, they're good for human consumption, and they provide lots of employment opportunities because people get to pull them. So, God loves variety. Why would we be any different? Why would God want us all to be alike and look alike and act alike? And it's time that we stop wanting to be somebody else. You know, I walked by Natalie Grant today in the back and I complimented her on her voice. And there would have been a day when I would have said to her, I wish I could sing like you. But I didn't say that today. I said there would have been a time when I would have said, I wish I could sing like you. But the truth is I love being just who I am. Because you know what I found out? As long as I want to do what somebody else can do, then I can't appreciate that in them because I'm too busy wanting it. And the truth is, God put that gift in her for us to enjoy, not to be jealous of and wish that we could do it. You know, my gift benefits you more than it benefits me. It causes me to work. And a lot of people think, oh, I wish I could do what you do. Well, do you want to do what we do to get to do what we do? And you see, when God enables you to do something, there's a whole lot of other stuff that goes along with it. You know, we're all different. Let's have our 10 ladies come. We're just all so different. And we need to realize that each one of us is beautiful to God in our own right. Let's see. Why don't you come up here and stand so everybody can see you. Just get right up here in the front, okay? Go in the front row, ladies. Right here in the front. Woohoo, you can't all be down there. See, somebody's got to give direction. All right, come on. Okay. Now listen. There's no two of these ladies that look even remotely anything alike, do they? Nothing. Just look at it. I had them bring tall ones, and this is Rose. This is Dave's secretary. She's eyeball to eyeball with Dave when he sits in a chair and she stands up. Amen. Here we have a beautiful lady who's got her natural hair. You'll never see mine, but this is hers. We have brown hair and blondish brown hair and blonde hair and darker hair and black hair, and we have this beautiful
large hair.
Large curly hair.
Hair that takes over a room.
Hair that takes over a room. I've known Jackie for over 30 years. She's always trying to straighten her hair, and I love it. Curly? Is that not amazing? Wow. Wouldn't you love to just be able to get up and just do that and go on about your business? But here's the thing. Look at me, ladies, once and for all. You got what you got. So deal with it. I said, you've got what you've got. So Deal with it. You say, well, I don't like what I've got. Well, that doesn't mean you're going to get something else. You know, this is what I really felt like saying this week, and another thing I just really had on my heart to say. If there's something about your body, your hair, your this, your that, you don't like, if you can do something about it, do it. I don't really want to have gray hair at this point because although I am 70, I don't have any interest in looking it. So, I can do something about it, so I do it. But if you can't, if there's something in your life that you cannot do something about, then tonight I want you to go beyond accepting it and I want you to embrace it. You ladies can go, thank you. Yeah, aren't they beautiful? Give them all a hand. You know what? This is a piece of embroidery. Or it's a cross stitch. My daughter does cross stitch. And now look. Now, this is the backside. You know, you look at that and you're like, I don't know what that's going to be. Well, that's kind of the way we are about ourselves sometimes. God's not done yet, and we're like, man, what's this going to be? But see, we look at this side, God sees this side. He sees it all finished and beautiful and done. You got to trust God with yourself. Look at this. Somebody sent me these today. Everyone is different. All different colors, all different shapes. And the thing that's amazing is when you put them all together, look how beautiful they are. So we're all different, different colors, different shapes, different sizes, different talents, different abilities. And if we can stop comparing ourselves to one another and being jealous of each other long enough, we might just all get together and do something amazing for God. Come on. I said we might just get together and do something amazing for God. Come on, give God a big praise tonight. Woo! Hallelujah! Well, it's time for you to know just how valuable you are and start believing and saying what God says about you versus what other people say about you. Choose to believe that God has designed you for a very special purpose. You know, if you've been wounded in your soul, which so many people have been, I've written a book called Healing the Soul of a Woman. And I really want you to have this book. I was sexually abused in my childhood by my father, and I went around for many years pretending like everything was okay. But the mess that I had on the inside of me, in my soul, came out of me in many different ways that I didn't understand, and to be honest, other people didn't either. And I want you to have a completely healed soul. And God is the only one that can do that. He's the only one that can get in us and heal our inner man.